The following is a paid program sponsored by CDN Instructional Services. The views expressed on the program are solely those of the sponsor. CFund does not endorse the views expressed or the goods or services promoted on the program. This is Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFund, 1410 AM.
Good afternoon, I'm Candace Newton, and this is Unlocking Secrets for Women, the voice that empowers communities, right here on 1410 AM CFUN. We educate and we assist women and families with issues that they could face every day. Our topic today is a very interesting topic. It's understanding healthcare and its changes, what is good and what is new in healthcare, and also for women as well. Our guest in studio is the Honorable Colin Hanson, Minister of Health Services. Colin Hanson was appointed Minister of Health Services on June 5, 2001. Mr. Hanson previously served as health critic for the official opposition, as well as a critic for employment and investment and for labor. He sat on the select standing committees on Crown Corporations and on economic development, science, labor, training, and technology. He also sat on the official opposition caucus committees on health and economy. He was first elected in 1996 to represent the electoral district of Vancouver, and how do you say that?
Quilchena.
And re-elected in 2001. Welcome to Unlocking Secrets for Women, Mr. Hanson.
Thanks very much, Candace.
It's a pleasure having you here. And given the day that it is today, I really respect and appreciate your time today here. Thanks so much for coming in. I just want to start off by saying that anyone in the position of healthcare minister across this country has a very challenging and difficult job. And I can honestly say that I certainly wouldn't want to be in your position, particularly today. It's a tough place to be, and I respect you for taking it on. And you certainly have the largest budget in the province, as healthcare takes up 43% of the entire provincial budget.
Yeah.
That's massive.
And it's actually interesting. When I talk to my other counterparts in other provinces across Canada, regardless of what the political affiliation is of the government of the day, we all have the same common challenge. And it's interesting when we get together as health ministers, we all can share a lot of, we can commiserate together with the challenges that are before us. But the budget is huge. It's in BC today, it's $10.7 billion. Wow. And when I was first sworn in as health minister 2.5 years ago, it was 9.3. Wow. So it's been growing at a significant rate, growing three times faster than our economy has been growing. And that's where the whole question about sustainability comes in. Mm-hmm. But I think too often we try to measure healthcare based on how much money we spend. Mm-hmm. And in reality, we've got to measure it on terms of how we actually meet the needs of individuals, how many procedures, how many surgeries we can get done, how to get the best value for that money is as important as how much money is in the budget too.
And that's just a huge challenge. I know I sort of have a little story. I look at changes in healthcare as being sort of like that Portman Bridge nightmare. I have to cross that Portman Bridge, and I cross that bridge, and I look at that bridge and go, was somebody not paying attention to the future? Did we not see this coming? It's as if we didn't believe that Vancouver would ever be this beautiful city that would have grown so much like it is. And now we've got this massive traffic problem, and we know we have to deal with that bridge issue. Everybody's moaning and complaining and grumbling and unhappy, and it makes everybody late for work, and it's a very frustrating experience. And I sort of look at healthcare like that in Canada. I mean, it's, with all due respect to you, it's naive for anyone to believe that this problem happened in the last year or two. This has been ongoing over a long period of time, that it has developed into this problem, and now we're sort of hit where things have to change. And I guess that's the challenge that's in front of everybody is, you know, do we need to change? Well, we all agree that we do need to change because there's problems. How do we change? How fast do we make those changes? What are the reactions to those changes? And it becomes very, very difficult for people. So I'm going to talk a little bit just about where I come from, because I'm in a very unique position. I am an HEU member, which is just so ironic to have you sitting here today. I am a casual employee, although the health facilities that I work in would say she hardly picks up anything anymore, which is true. I've been really bad. I got to start picking up and help them out in the summer. But I am a taxpaying citizen. I'm a woman, and I am a single parent healthcare worker. And I have health professionals in my family as well, and I've been personally affected by those changes in healthcare, as everybody has. I mean, as a woman and as a mom who's responsible for my family, I have to look at how I'm going to provide income. And when I see changes coming, you know, I'm a smart girl. I look ahead and say, what can I do to protect myself and my family? So I'm also an educator in healthcare, which is interesting. I teach for two different school districts, and a lot of my students are laid off healthcare workers. So I have my own healthcare workers in front of me that I have to teach, re-educate, try to inspire and motivate them to try to carry on with these terrible cuts. So I am in such a unique position here, and I have sympathies for all parties involved because it's a difficult challenge, and I don't hold it to one specific problem. So we've noticed a drop in the attendance of programs as well that are involved in healthcare. We're concerned, people are concerned thinking there's no jobs out there, there's not going to be employment out there in healthcare. So I'm just like to ask you if you can sort of give us a breakdown like I do in a classroom when I've got all these students in front of me and they, you know, they want to understand what it is that I'm trying to teach them. I start with a basic foundation of how healthcare is funded, how it started, sort of what the history was. So could you just play Professor Hansen for us right now? And can you give us an understanding and about where the story of healthcare began and how it got to the place that it was, avoiding political issues, but really talking true education and information. How did we get here?
Well, if you look, you know, healthcare obviously goes back centuries, and and I think it. If you go back even 100 years ago, healthcare was largely driven by churches and not-for-profit organizations. It was it was considered a charity in many communities, and those that could afford to buy their healthcare obviously went out and did. And 40 years ago is when Canada adopted the Medicare system that we know today, and the part of the philosophy behind that, which was saying that no single family should be denied access to necessary care because they couldn't afford it. That we as a society had to take on that responsibility to make sure that everything that was medically possible to save a child's life or to make sure that they could live a healthy life, that everything was medically possible could be done. What's changing phenomenally is technology, because the boundaries of medical science are being pushed back so fast, and new technologies that, you know, literally you can diagnose illness before it happens. Illnesses that used to be totally life-threatening a couple of years ago are now curable. But a huge expense. And we have new medications that, there's one medication that I know of, it's a cancer medication for certain types of leukemia, $36,000 a year, not for a cure, just in order to help put that into remission. So now suddenly what is medically possible, we can't afford that as a society because it's getting so expensive. So we do have to reform healthcare, and we've got to look forward, anticipate those changes of 10, 20 years from now, and make sure that we position it so that we have a first-class healthcare system.
That is a huge challenge. And, it's really, when you think about it, it's sort of, it's interesting how that's set up that way. When you think about, you know, we are saving lives more and more, you know, people are living longer. And it's like the same sort of challenge that us as parents, I mean, in the simplicity of who I am, we have challenges with this great explosion of the internet and now trying to control it with our kids. It's sort of almost the same idea. New technology brings wonderful advancements and hope for us, but it also brings major challenges in how we're going to wrestle with it.
Yes.
And how we're going to face it and deal with it. And I think that's probably where we're at. So then the average person would say, okay, what's happening right now? Like, these are deep and fast and furious, and how is that going to help us in the future with what's going on right now? Are you able to expound on that right now?
Well, and earlier you used the term cuts in healthcare, and I must say I always recoil a little bit when I hear that term because we're talking about changes.
Right.
But, if you look at the size of the budget in BC, for example, it's increasing. It's increased by $2 billion over the last 3 years, and it'll increase about $1 billion over the next couple of coming years. So it is going up. But I think when you look at the if to maintain the status quo in healthcare, we'd have to increase that budget by about 8% a year. So we have to find ways of doing things differently. And I think the other thing that's changed in healthcare in the past, let me put it this way. Change in healthcare is easy if it's incremental change. But incremental change is hugely expensive, and we simply can't afford it. So now we're in an era, and it's not just BC, it's worldwide really in healthcare, where the changes in healthcare have to be the new and urgent needs in healthcare. The new priorities have to be funded by identifying lesser priorities and re-diverting, reallocating monies within the system to the areas of higher and emerging priority. So it is a period of change, but some people will interpret change as cuts. I interpret it as just trying to modernize the system to deal with new and urgent priorities.
Yeah, and I would understand. And I mean, it's inevitable at some point that you're going to have those different perspectives. It depends on whose end you are, on the receiving end one, you know, whether or not you've been someone who has been laid off, that they would perceive it that way,
yeah.
Or someone who's in your position where you have the responsibility to
but
make
there
those
are
changes.
There are tremendous jobs and tremendous careers in healthcare. And
yes.
And I think that I encourage a lot of young British Columbians to go into healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like nursing, for example, we've increased the number of nursing seats at our universities and colleges by almost 2,000.
Wow.
And those are great jobs. And yes,
nursing
they're stressful.
Is a very good occupation.
And it is. And I think the shortage that we've had in the past has put a lot of stresses on nurses who are on the front lines today.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we can get new nurses educated and into the system, they're great jobs, and it will help relieve some of those stresses that we see today.
And you know, I think we don't get enough, all of us together, not you necessarily, but all of us don't give enough credit, I think, to our own citizens, because a lot of people, you know, even those frontline workers that have been working in it have sort of seen the writing on the wall for quite a while. You know, the nurses certainly have. I mean, I've worked in the healthcare system, and I listen to the nurses say, you know, there's going to be a shortage, it's going to be a problem, and they saw it like way back, because I can remember I've been working probably 10 years now in the healthcare system, and I've been hearing that for a long time. So, and we know that it's not one particular person's problem, but it's sort of a big issue that it's accumulated now. It's sort of hit the wall all at once. And and I do want to also agree with you that nursing is a fabulous occupation, and the beauty about nurses is that they're very nurturing in themselves as people, and that makes the job that much harder, because they care so much about their patients that it makes it that much harder for them to throw themselves into their job and then face what it is that they have to face with the challenges in healthcare that they have to deal with.
Yeah.
So
but
it's really
too often, I think we have tried to deal with those challenges without planning. And
yeah.
I'll tell you a story. When I was first sworn in as health minister in June of 2001, it was about a couple of days later, I had this sort of the first structured formal briefing meeting with the deputy minister,
mm-hmm.
who at the time was Leah Hollins. And I remember her telling me about the instructions she had from the premier's office to create this new ministry of health planning. And the instruction was to take all of the employees in the Ministry of Health who were dedicated to planning and move them over to become the backbone of this new ministry. And she paused and she looked at me across the table and she said, "I have to tell you something. We don't have a single full-time individual dedicated to planning."
Wow.
In a ministry with a budget at that point of $9.3 billion. And I think we're trying to catch up. You know, not mm-hmm. it's not about sort of just getting through the next 6 months. It's mm-hmm. about planning ahead for 5 years from now and 10 years from now and 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the tough thing that people are facing right now is that, you know, it's that 5 year, 10 year, 20 year understanding that we have to put something in place.
Well, people don't like the uncertainty either. You know, when
it is scary.
In communities where we recognize we've got an old seniors facility that is starting to fall apart
mm-hmm.
and we say, yes, that's going to be closed and there's going to be a new one built. Well, where is it going to be built?
Mm-hmm.
And what about my mother who's in there now
yeah.
and what's going to happen? Well, that's okay. We'll, you know, that will all come out as we get through a planning process. Well, I want to know now.
Yeah.
And it's understandable that
it
people
is,
have that anxiety.
And it is because they love their family members. And, you know, of course, and when they see, you know, adults or elders don't take change very well in general, they don't. And they love their grandma and grandpas. And it just breaks their heart to have to see them face those kind of changes, you know, because of that thing. So it's understandable that their reactions would be that way. I guess that's the tough balance is balancing out what has to be done from a dramatic sort of place and then how it trickles down into the everyday person that lives every day and how they feel that impacting on their life. It's a challenge. It's a challenge that I sure am glad I don't have to deal with. And so just on that note, I'm going to just take a break right now, and we're speaking with the Health Minister Colin Hanson here on Unlocking Secrets for Women. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN 1410 AM.